I'm Johnny Mack with your daily comedy news. Trump jokes are back. Did you see that the Manhattan District Attorney had convened a grand jury to decide whether to indict former President Trump on insurance, bank, and tax fraud charges? Seth Meyers sure did. He said he was shocked it took 2 years, saying, Trump has arguably confessed to multiple crimes in public, incited a violent insurrection, been impeached twice, was an unindicted co-conspirator in a hush money case, paid just $750 in federal income taxes while he was president, and did everything possible to hide his taxes from public view. At this point, I wouldn't be shocked if it turned out he tried to claim a deduction for a bribe. Trump always manages to wriggle out of a jam. He's like the David Blaine of crime. If he ever goes to trial, he'll just regurgitate a frog that has not guilty written on its back. If the feds come for him, he'll hide out in a glass box over the Thames. I mean, what else do we need? Trump to show up on a Fox interview with a shovel and a shirt that says, I love burying bodies? It's just basic logic that if you're surrounded at all times by that many criminals, there's a solid chance you're also a criminal. You never hear someone on stage at a concert say, that's Doug on the bass, give it up for Russell on rhythm guitar, that's Mick on lead, that's Billy on keyboards, and me. I know, I'm not in a band, I don't do music, those guys do, not me. Fallon. Of course, Trump responded to the news. In his official statement, he said, it's a total witch hunt. Then he added, I'm completely innocent. And finally, he said, now if you'll excuse me, I have to catch a flight to Mexico. Stephen Colbert, all lack of facts aside, insiders have said that investigators are looking into whether the stated value of properties owned by the former president were manipulated in a way that defrauded banks and insurance companies, and if any tax benefits were illegally obtained through unscrupulous asset valuation. Well, of course they're unscrupulous. The man has never scooped. Investigators better bring an unscrooper scooper, Seth. In addition to being a potential crime, unscrupulous asset evaluation sounds like something Trump would put under interests on his Tinder bio. Colbert, now it's no surprise the formation of this grand jury did not sit well with Clownigula. He put out a long internet post calling the investigation a witch hunt, which was purely political. Not purely, it's also emotional and spiritual. Every one of my chakras wants you in jail. Colbert, how can he say it's political when he's no longer in politics? Well, according to Politico, simple. Float another run for president. Besides, as one aide put it, he's missing being president terribly. It makes sense. He did spend 4 years being president terribly. Seth, if Obama were under investigation, we would be talking about that too. But he's not. The only news Obama makes these days is showbiz related. If you hear about Obama investigations, it's probably a new show on HBO Max. Oh, there's more. Kimmel, can you imagine Donald Trump on trial putting that little orange hand on a Bible? Suddenly the Bible bursts into flames. He escapes in the chaos like a Batman villain. Corden, they're looking at whether Trump lied about the value of his properties to get loans approved and to pay lower taxes. Does this really need an investigation? I feel like he spent 4 full years bragging about doing exactly that. Fallon, we know a trial is close when the courtroom sketch artist goes to Michaels and says, give me all the orange crayons you have. Corden, don't worry, Trump supporters. Rudy Giuliani is on the case. Fallon, yeah, Trump knew he was in trouble when he called his lawyer and the FBI answered Rudy's phone saying, you're being recorded. Seth, talking about Giuliani. Imagine that arrest. You have a right to an attorney, but as a friend, I wouldn't recommend it. Colbert, I love to watch him sweat. My mistake. No, I don't. Jimmy Kimmel discussed a law signed by Florida's Governor Ron DeSantis, which would fine social media companies for removing or censoring anyone running for office in the state. Kimmel said, according to this law, which they know won't hold up, banning a candidate from your platform will result in fines of up to $250,000 a day. Gee, I wonder who lives in Florida and is banned from Twitter and may have had a tiny hand in this. DeSantis commented, now pay attention here, when you deplatform the president of the United States, but you let the Ayatollah Khomeini talk about killing Jews, that is wrong. Kimmel pointed out the Ayatollah died in 1989, 17 years before Twitter. But we get it, Ron. You know how when you go on a road trip and you have to stop to pee at like some sketchy gas station in the middle of nowhere and the toilet seat has like a swastika carved into it for some reason, you think, why would anyone take the time to carve anything into the toilet seat, let alone something horrible like a swastika? Anyway, Florida is that toilet seat. Is Pete Davidson leaving Saturday Night Live? The Hollywood Reporter did a roundtable with a bunch of folks. Chris Redd and Pete Davidson were on it. Chris Redd says he has no plans to stay on SNL like Kenan Thompson has. Kenan's been on the show since 2003. Pete Davidson agreed. Now pay attention to the quote here. Yeah, I'm good. I'm surprised I made it to 7. I'm ready to hang up the jersey. Kenan's like effing Karl Malone out there. I suspect we're going to see a lot of turnover on that cast. I liked this particular cast a lot. If you watch the season finale, you kind of got the impression that Kate McKinnon, A.D. Bryant, Pete Davidson, and maybe even Keenan were done. Cecily Strong, too, from the way she was standing with the rest of the cast there. Once Che and Jost give up, we can update. I think that'll be a real sea change, but we'll find out in the fall who's back. Great job, Jon Stewart. He joined other veteran advocates on Capitol Hill, fighting for benefits for veterans who were exposed to toxic burn pits while they were serving. There are several different bills in Congress working to address the toxic exposure issue. Lawmakers are trying to bring them all together in an effort to get it passed much sooner, because for veterans suffering from exposure, time is not on their side. Jon Stewart has spent the last year urging lawmakers to pass comprehensive legislation that ensures veterans who were exposed to toxic substances while serving their country get help when they return. Stewart said, "Welcome to another exciting episode of When is America going to start acting like a great country we keep telling ourselves we are?" Republican Senator Tom Tillis of North Carolina said, "We talked about how all these pieces of the puzzle fit together, but we've also got to be judicious so that we don't reach a point where we lose support purely on the financial impact." Stewart addressed the financial concerns, saying, "I remember when they said the same thing about the cost of the war. They all said, no, this is too much. We can't." Oh, wait, they didn't do that at all. They spent whatever they needed to spend to get it done. And this is part of the total cost of that. Stewart calls the exposure to burn pits the consequence of prosecuting a 20-year war. It sounds like the Friends reunion on HBO Max kind of sucks, the AV Club said. In the 104 minutes of the special, we see numerous revisits at once, the cast meeting up again on the rebuilt set for the first time in 17 years, a table read in which they mimic episodic dialogue from decades ago, a tape group interview in front of an audience hosted by James Corden, a clip show, a bloopers reel. Corden is basically filling the role that Conan O'Brien held on a similar special in 2001, asking the world's most famous friends about the show that made them all stars. One of the special's most self-congratulatory moments is when it visits Friends fans from around the world, explaining how the show helped them through dark times. A young woman from Mexico says, "They were my friends when I didn't have any friends." Variety adds, Lisa Kudrow may have crushed many people's dreams about actually seeing where the characters would be at this place in time. She imagines Phoebe is still married to Paul Rudd's character Mike with kids and living in Connecticut, saying, "I think she was probably the advocate for her kids and all the other kids who were a little different creating the arts program." Jennifer Aniston said, "Ross and Rachel got married and had some kids, and Ross still played with bones." Courtney Cox said she believed that because Monica is so competitive, she would still be in charge of the bake sale in elementary school, even though her and Chandler's kids would be out of school by now. "She's just got to keep things going, PTA. And you are still making me laugh every day," she said to Matthew Perry. Perry said, "Just wanted to make sure I factored in somewhere. And as for Joey, I think he probably opened a sandwich shop on Venice Beach." The Times chimes in saying, "Corden's interview feels peripheral among the elements here, particularly since so many of his questions boil down to, hey, remember when? And hey, what do you remember about that? The special's better when it gets out of the cast way and shows us what drew us to them and them to each other. The best thing about the reunion, according to the Times, is what it isn't. The cast and creators are adamant about never making a Where Are They Now revival episode." CNN reports Bill Cosby has been denied parole. America's dad is now 83 years old. You may recall he's currently serving a 3 to 10 year felony prison sentence for drugging and sexually assaulting a woman in his home in 2004. CNN has obtained a letter that says Cosby must still participate in and complete additional institutional programs. Other factors that contributed to the decision to keep the one-time funny man behind bars: Cosby's failure to create a parole release plan and a negative recommendation from the Department of Corrections. The nominations for the British Podcast Awards 2021 have been announced. The Best Comedy Podcast category features Beef and Dairy Network, Dear John and Jerrica, Hidden Ireland, Corrupt FM, Corrupt with a K, Poppy Hillstead Has Entered the Chat, and Seance Cast. I am not familiar with any of those six. Let's find out. Beef and Dairy Network is created by Benjamin Partridge. Dear John and Jerrica is improvised by Julia Davis and Vicky Pepperdine. Hidden Ireland is fronted by Michael Strani. Corrupt FM features People Just Do Nothing stars Alan Mustafa, Hugo Chegwin, Asim Chadri, and Steve Stamp. Poppy Hilstead has entered the chat, is one of the newer formats in the shortlist. It was launched by Poppy Hilstead last year. Seance Cast is a sketch show fronted by Charlie Dinkin and Zoe Tomlin. Not sure any of that helped me figure any of it out, although I am familiar with People Just Do Nothing because I like to deep dive on Britcoms. I think that one is on, I want to say it's on Hulu. James Acaster's Perfect Sounds is up for the Creativity Award. You can find all the nominees at the BritishPodcastAwards.com. The Listener's Choice Award, involving all podcasts, is open for votes until 4th July, as the Brits phrased it. This from Chortle. And the winners will be announced at an outdoor awards festival, quote, like no other, on Saturday, 10th July, at Brockwell Park in South London. You should go. Did you clean up yet? You gotta clean up. Gotta clean up. Support for Daily Comedy News is brought to you by Manscaped, who is the best in men's below-the-waist grooming champions of the world. Manscaped offers precision-engineered tools for your family jewels. Manscaped just launched their fourth-generation trimmer, the Lawnmower 4.0. You heard that right, the 4.0. Join over 2 million men worldwide who trust Manscaped with this exclusive offer to you. 20% off and free worldwide shipping with the code DCN is your code, as in Daily Comedy News. I am one of the over 2 million men who trust Manscaped with the boys. Imagine shaving with a sleek, well-designed, optimized trimmer that makes shaving time your favorite time in the bathroom. Manscaped engineered the ultimate groin and body trimmer by focusing on intelligent functionality and an incredibly comfortable grooming experience. It sure is. I mentioned on a previous episode of the podcast, you know, you're like, all right, I'm going to clean up, and you're, you know, a little wary. And then really quickly, you're like, Manscaped's got this. This 4.0, comfortable, safe. It's got a cutting edge ceramic blade to reduce grooming accidents thanks to their advanced skin safe technology. I feel confident shaving the boys. The upgraded trimmer includes a multi-function on-off switch that can engage a travel lock. It also gives you the ability to turn the 4000K LED spotlight on and off when needed for a more precise shave. You want to be able to see 4000K LED. You can even customize your trim. You got sizes 1 through 4. There are additional guard lengths. You stick them on there. Wireless charging. How great is that? If you've been shaving with, you know, the shaver you use on your face, you're doing it wrong. You don't want to do that. These are two different products. You got whatever you use on your face, and you got your Manscaped for the down there stuff. Keep it separate and keep it clean, man. Get 20% off plus free shipping. The code DCN at manscaped.com. You go to manscaped.com. You punch in a code DCN, and you'll get 20% off plus free shipping. Your balls will thank you. Get 20% off and free shipping with the code DCN at manscaped.com. That's 20% off with free shipping at manscaped.com. Use code DCN. Unlock your confidence and always use the right tools for the job with Manscaped. Why, yes, today's episode is a little long. Well, we had the 5 short episodes over the holiday weekend, and I'm back, baby. Did you enjoy Rolling Stone's list of the top 100 sitcoms of all time? If you missed that, I covered that from Friday through yesterday, 5 episodes in a row, breaking that apart. You could check that out. Here are some shows not on the list. I may be showing my age here, but, you know, I grew up in the late 70s, early 80s would be my sitcom prime. How about Happy Days? That ran for 11 seasons, Rolling Stone. Alan Sepinwall, who made the list, you're around my age. Don't act like you didn't have a Fonzie lunchbox. Who was cooler than Henry Winkler? Happy Days ran 11 seasons. How is it not on the list? Some others. Welcome Back, Cotter. All right, maybe it's a little hacky, but John Travolta, man. How's that not on the list? And I'll remind you, there's like 10 cartoons on the list. How about Gilligan's Island? People still talk about Gilligan's Island. If you're my age, you watched every episode of Gilligan's Island 5 trillion times. How about the Addams Family? How about the Munsters? How about Bewitched? Bewitched! 2 Darrens! How is Bewitched not on the list? Well, if you don't have Bewitched, you can't have Genie, because on whatever rankings, Bewitched is going to be ahead of Genie, but I Dream of Genie. How's that not on the list? How about the Brady Bunch? They made 2 movies about the Brady Bunch. The Brady Bunch is iconic. It's got to be on that list. A lesser version of the Brady Bunch, the Partridge Family. How about them? And I got one Britcom for you. How about Father Ted? Have you ever seen Father Ted? I guess it's not a Britcom. Maybe it's an Irish com? Let's see. Production company, Hat Trick Productions. Distributor, Channel 4 Television Corporation. Production, the London Studios. I don't know, whatever it is. Father Ted follows the misadventures of three Irish Roman Catholic priests who live in a parish on the fictional Craggy Island located off the west coast of Ireland. Father Ted Crilly, Father Dougal McGuire, and Father Jack Hackett live chaotically together in Craggy Island's parochial house, along with their housekeeper, Mrs. Doyle. The show revolves around the priests' lives on Craggy Island, sometimes dealing with matters of the church, but more often dealing with Father Ted's schemes to either resolve a situation with the parish or other Craggy Island residents, or to win games of one-upmanship against his enemy, Father Dick Byrne of the nearby Rugged Island Parish. There are three series of this plus a Christmas special, adding up four. I'm doing math here. 6, 10, 1, 8. That looks like 25 episodes. Father Ted, I don't know if it's streaming in the States right now, but if you ever come across that, seek it out. It is fantastic, and it should be on the list. So again, I'm adding to Rolling Stone's list. I'm adding Father Ted, Happy Days, Welcome Back, Cotter, Gilligan's Island, Addams Family, Bewitched, I Dream of Jeannie, Brady Bunch, Partridge Family. I'm adding the Munsters as I think of it. Come on, guys. Can't have 10 cartoons on there. Josh Johnson has a new album coming out. He is a comedian and a writer for The Daily Show. His album is called Elusive. It is described as a 33-track mixtape that's a mixture of both comedy and music. The album, quote, weaves the Chicago comedian's shrewd and self-deprecating observations on the absurdities of modern dating and American decay with 9 music tracks. The album consists of 2 arcs. The first arc relates to dating and how to maintain a relationship during the pandemic. The second deals with the political side of things, specifically relating to the world of COVID. So it's a little weird, right, incorporating music? Josh Johnson says, I think it's more creative and interesting to see what a song sounds like that's about what the previous 2 comedy tracks are about. What's being relayed in that pain musically that isn't in the stand-up? And you know how I'd been worried about how there wouldn't be any news off the holiday weekend? I cut 6 stories from this episode, and look how long this episode is. I'm back, baby. And that's your comedy news for today. Follow the show on Spotify or Apple Podcasts or Google Podcasts, and I'll see you tomorrow.